This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. The 114th US Open is just a day away, the season's second major, and it's myself, Dave Kellner, with Mike Grenham and Steve Bamford from Golf Betting System on the line as well. First of all, good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Mike, and good morning, listeners.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
This should be an absolutely cracking event. Rory McIlroy, the 12-1 favourite for the US Open here with William Hill. Adam Scott is 15-1. Bubba Watson, 16s. Phil Mickelson is 20s. Jason Day, 28-1. Jordan Spieth, 28-1. Justin Rose in the betting at 28-1. Henrik Stenson, 30s, along with Matt Kuchar. Dustin Johnson is 33-1, and it's 35s bar. Season's second major, and the USGA have chosen, Steve, one of the most iconic golf courses in the game to host the event. Pinehurst number 2 is a golf course that's steeped in history.
Absolutely. The thing that I think people over here in the UK might not get their heads around is that Pinehurst is like the St Andrews. Pinehurst to the Americans is like St Andrews is to us. I think there's 8 different courses in the area, and it's absolutely revered. Pinehurst number 2 being the crown jewel, there's absolutely no doubt about that.
The course was opened in 1907, designed by Donald Ross, who called it the fairest test of championship golf I have ever designed. And despite hosting that US Open in 99 and the US Open in which Michael Campbell produced a massive shock, Mike, back in 2005, the course has undergone significant changes that will definitely have an impact on this year's US Open.
Well, one would suspect so, wouldn't you? The rough's gone. It's all kind of wasteland and pine needles and things like that. So it is a tricky test for those of us trying to solve it pre-tournament. I'd like to have seen someone playing on it first, really. It does temper enthusiasm for going absolutely head down with your bets. For me, anyway, it's hard to know whether this will be a typical US Open and those stalwarts who year in, year out play well in this event. Whether they're the ones to follow, or whether it might be slightly different. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of people have said in the lead up to the event, it's more like an Open Championship, Steve, than a traditional US Open. As Mike's just mentioned, the rough has been replaced with wasteland, basically, and it's potluck whether you've got an opportunity to advance the ball to the green if you do hit it in the stuff. Or not, and the weather's going to be might be an impact as well this week. The weather forecast looks desperate, just as it was last week in Memphis, and we could have significant delays. So it's definitely a tricky puzzle for the punters to solve this week, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. The weather forecast, I've been keeping a very close eye on it, but effectively thunderstorms could affect the golf tournament throughout all 4 days. Sunday afternoon looks particularly bad, so you can see a Monday finish, there's no doubt about that. The course itself, the interesting notes I've taken from the renovation, they've added 400 yards from 2005, so that's a good par 4, just added in length. It's a par 70. Bill Corr, who obviously was co-designer with Ben Crenshaw on this renovation, he's noted 6 of the 12 par 4s as brutes, and none of the par 5s are reachable. The debate here, and obviously the thing that people are trying to conjure with, is how would rain affect the golf course? And from what I've seen and from what I've read, the course is built in sand. The conditions right now remind me of Muirfield last year. For the Open Championship.
Yep.
Very, very dry. The fairways are already browning up. So how will rain affect that? But the real key here to Pinehurst, from what I'm reading and from what I'm hearing in interviews from all of the players, it's the greens. The greens are absolutely brutal. It's very, very, very difficult to hold the ball on the greens.
Yeah, I think one of the key attributes this week could be length off the tee, in my opinion, because to try and attack these greens with long irons is going to be particularly difficult. Mike, have you got a certain type of player in mind for this test?
Yeah, one that could win would be nice. I think in terms of stats, Dave, I've probably gone for ball striking as much as anything.
Yeah.
Which is that mix of drive, total driving and greens in regulation.
No, I agree. I think a lot of emphasis in the lead up to the event's been put on scrambling, but I want a guy that's going to be able to find these greens in regulation, because I agree that if you're missing these greens, even if you're the best scrambler in world golf, you're going to struggle getting up and down.
You're going to make bogeys, I think. I tend to agree. Scrambling, as important as it will be, this is a different type of scrambling than the week in, week out stuff. So you've kind of got to hope that your guy, if he does miss the green, scrambles well this week.
Indeed.
You know.
Steve, I'll let you kick off with your headline pick here.
Going through the betting market, I think you can put... This is how interesting it is. I think you can put question marks against a lot of the market leaders, Rory McIlroy included. I'm going for Matt Kuchar, 30-1, as my headline tip this week. Georgia Tech graduate, so a Southeast guy, 35, sixth at the US Open at Pebble Beach. He was also 14th at Congressional a couple of years ago, which again was a similar kind of long test, although I know it played very, very soft in terms of its conditions. I just like Kuchar. I know that he's very comfortable in this area of America. He's very versatile. He's a mature golfer now, and he seems to be able to play across the whole breadth of different courses, technical courses, classical courses, coastal courses. You put him in a birdie fest, he can compete on those as well. The other thing I took I took note of with Payne Stewart when he won in 1999, looked at his record. He won twice at Harbortown, which is obviously just down the coast in South Carolina. And Kuchar obviously won there month before last?
You know? Yeah.
I just think Kuchar has got that US Open mentality. He's mature. He's got... Effectively, you need to be able to play par golf to stand any chance at a US Open. And I just think Kuchar's got that kind of confidence in himself that he can actually grind out a decent total across four rounds. He's also a 290 hitter. The two key stats I've looked at were greens in regulation from over 200 yards and also scrambling over 30 yards, so more long-distance kind of scrambling. Mm-hmm. Kuchar is 37th in GIR. And sixth in scrambling over 30 yards. I just think he's a consistent player that at 30-1 is a decent price.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Steve. He's not my headline pick, but I'll row in with you there because he is one of my three picks. Good. I agree with everything you said. Been in great form this season. Puts well, which I think could be important here. Top 40 ball striking. Top of the par 4 performance, actually, this season. And a good scrambler, as we know. So, yeah, I think his time may have come for a major.
Is there any doubts, chaps, about temperament?
No, not for me. No, he's won a Players' Championship. He's won lots of other big events. And I appreciate he's maybe not the best closer out in the game. But, he's good enough for me.
Okay. Matt,
you Steve, what do you think?
No, I'm with you. I mean, third, eighth and fifth at Augusta the last three times we visited Georgia. Yes, he's not the best closer out, but US Open, it's in the end, it's often the last man standing.
Exactly. I think he can grind, and I think you may have to this week.
Yeah, I think undoubtedly it's going to be a grind for every single player on Pinehurst number 2 this week. My headline selection's Martin Kaymer at 40-1, I'm going a point each way on Martin Kaymer. Came back to prominence with that win in the Players' Championship, and he's maintained his form well subsequently with a 29th in the Byron Nelson, where rather predictably he ran out of a little bit of steam over the weekend there, having been in contention on Thursday and Friday, and then went to Wentworth for the BMW PGA Championship and finished a respectable 12th. That's not a venue... chaps, he's ever really excelled at Wentworth for one reason or another, and it's probably a performance that can be upgraded as well, because statistically he was superb, ranked fourth in driving accuracy, 10th in distance from the tee, and 3rd in greens in regulation. And his only win in a major championship came at Whistling Straits back in 2010. That's a long course with wasteland areas framing the fairways, so not entirely dissimilar from Pinehurst number 2. And he's due another major championship, Keimer. And with this golf course having a little bit of a linksy feel, I think that's going to suit him down to the ground. He's played well in the Dunhill links in the past. And I'm kind of happy that he's taken the last 2 weeks off, coming into this fresh and mentally prepared, Keimer. So I'll go with Martin Keimer, a point each way at 40-1. One of your favourite golfers, Mike.
Yeah, no, I do like Keimer, Dave. And he was on my mind on what was an incredibly long list
yes.
of this tournament. There's about 40 at the bottom of the betting who have no chance, and then all of the rest of them have a big chance. So it was a confusing puzzle. But yeah, I can see your thoughts there.
Who headlines for you, Mike?
Henrik Stenson is my headline. Yeah, Henrik Stenson, top of the ball striking stats last year, 21st this year. He's good, as Steve mentioned, those kind of stats from 175 in greens in regulation. He's top 20 this year on that stat, which is important. Total driving, that stat, again, similar to the ball striking stats, is one that was keen on this week. Top 10 always on that. Scrambling would be possibly be a slight reservation. He hasn't probably scrambled quite as well as he might have in recent months, but he was top 50 in 2012 on the US Tour in scrambling, so he can do it when he wants to. And I'm hoping that he's belting the ball a mile down the fairway and not having to worry about scrambling because he's on the green.
Yeah.
In very good form. Top 10s on his last two outings in the BMW and Nordea. A player that's been at the peak of the game in the last 18 months or so. And I think 30-1 is a very good each-way price for him. You know, this is a guy who was third in the PGA at the back end of last year. He certainly knows how to contend in US majors. He's definitely good enough, and I think he's my headline. If I fancy anyone strongly this week, it's Henrik Stenson. I really do think he's going to be there or thereabouts.
And Steve, that third last year in the PGA Championship reads well in the context of this event, because that came at Oak Hills, which is a Donald Ross design as well. So that's another positive for Stenson.
Absolutely. I mean, both of those tips, Keimer and Stenson, they came very, very close to my hit list in the end. I think Keimer's still in need of some serious Ryder Cup points. He's not in the Ryder Cup team automatically at the moment. And he's definitely a major championship winner, as we know, at 2010 at Whistling Straits. And that Whistling Straits track was actually, you could kind of link that to here, that was very linksy with all of these kind of native areas. So I can see Keimer going extremely well. Mm. And Henrik, as you guys know, I actually was really keen on Henrik at Augusta. And again, there's certain similarities in terms of that you need an excellent long-range game for both Augusta and here. So I can see Stenson, you know, that high level of ball striking, he makes a lot of sense as well.
I think with regards to that comparison between Augusta and Pinehurst number 2, I reckon you're going to have to be more conservative to your targets here. Yep. Augusta, you can really attack. You're going to have to play to the wide parts of this green, these greens, because the complexes, they slope so drastically that it could be that at Pinehurst you're going to definitely have to be aggressive to conservative targets. I think that's what they're saying. I think that could be crucial this week. It's going to be such an interesting puzzle. Who else do you like then, Steve?
You guys are going to hate me for this one. He was 18-1 for Augusta, believe it or not. Sergio Garcia, 35-1.
No, I don't hate that. I have to say, it's the closest I've come in about 2 years to picking Sergio this week. But I couldn't bring myself to do it, having...
I'm not saying that they've replaced his brain and all of a sudden he's going to have like the mentality to win this by 10 strokes. But if you look at Sergio's record, if you look at the way that he plays golf, so, you know, he's plenty long enough off the tee. But the thing with Sergio is he's extremely creative around the greens. He's great with a long iron and a hybrid. He's got a fantastic record on Donald Ross courses.
Yep.
4 top 10s in 14 US Open appearances. He was third here in 2005. Can he win it? I'm not so sure he can win it, but 35-1, I think he's an extremely good each-way shot at that price.
I have to say, Steve, all those things I looked at, and that's why I was close to back. If he had someone else's name next to all those stats and figures, he'd be my headline. But your worry is he's had so many goes at majors and just doesn't seem to finish the job. But, yeah, I mean, I had a whole list of criteria, which he came out top of everyone, I have to say. I was really close to picking him, so I really get your pick. I really do.
He does pick every box. His last PGA Tour victory was at Sedgefield, which we all know is a Carolina golf course. Donald Ross. Has he got the real mental fortitude to win the tournament? I can't tell you that. We've got a lot of history that suggests that he might not have. But, you know, every dog has his day.
Yeah, he's won at Sawgrass, hasn't he? And he's won some other decent events. It's just this major hurdle that he's got to overcome. But I have to say, if he's ever going to win one, this is probably his best chance.
Yeah, Tiger Woods won't be chasing him down.
Correct. No, it's his big chance for him, this one. So I wouldn't blame you for picking him at all.
Is that withdrawal of the BMW PGA Championship, is that factored into the price, do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, you know, that's a big jump from 18. I think he was generally 20s at Augusta, but he was, you know, he went into that with white hot form, didn't he? I think he was third at Houston. But from all I've read and on Twitter and researching the topic, supposedly he's got no problems physically. I just wondered if it, was he on the bad side of the draw at Wentworth or something like that. I don't know.
Yes, I think so. He shot 73 in the first round, didn't he? Then didn't come out for the second.
It tends to be a trend that's developing amongst a lot of these elite players now, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. So Sergio Garcia in the betting at 35-1 here with William Hill. I've got a few guys actually 80-1 that I like. I'll name a couple of them now. Graham DeLatte is
a player. How many picks are we having then? I've still got a pick left.
Yeah, I've got four.
You've got four picks?
Yeah, I've got four.
It's a bit greedy.
It is a bit greedy. And it's not...
How many have you got, Steve? Dave's taking all the picks.
No. I've got... It's five players that I really, really fancy. I wouldn't call them all tips, but I can run you through some of the details.
All right, okay.
Good stuff.
Go on then, Dave. Kick on.
I usually only have
greedy
one
Dave.
Or two, Mike. I thought with it being a major championship week, I'd stick an extra couple in
you
there.
You go for it, pal.
A couple I like at 80-1. Graham DeLatte, first of all.
I like him this week, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm not
he's,
tipping him, but...
He's a player that hasn't won a PGA a tour title yet, so I can understand why he is 80-1 in this field. But he's got the game to go right to the top, in my opinion. It's a definite risk backing a maiden to win his first title, not only in a major championship, but a major championship at Pinehurst. But statistically, he's got a good fit here. 10th in driving distance, which I think will be important, especially if the rain arrives this week. I think that's going to be crucial. First in greens in regulation on tour this season. And he's an amazingly accurate long iron player. You look at his iron play from 200 yards plus. He ranks right up there. He comes into this having been tied 7th in the Byron Nelson, then finished tied 14th at the Colonial. So he's in red-hot form at the moment. Earlier on in the season, finished tied 2nd at the Farmers and tied 2nd at the Phoenix. So this is a guy that's very, very close to winning his first PGA Tour title. What a dream it would be for him if it came at Pinehurst number 2 in the US Open. I think 80-1's on the generous side for Graham DeLatte.
Fair enough. It's just that maiden stat is a big one to overcome. But yeah, again, a bit like Garcia. The other player that I had that were atop my kind of criterion, I made, you know, I went spent hours going around in circles, but the three that tipped my criteria boxes were Garcia, DeLatte and Keegan Bradley. I'm not tipping any of them, but they were all on my mind, and DeLatte, that just that maiden thing puts me off, I have to say.
Another guy I like at 80s is Victor Dubuisson this week, and he'll be my third pick, not my final pick just yet. He hasn't played much golf this season. He's got a fantastic game, Victor Dubuisson. He suffered with a little bit of tendonitis, I think, in one of his shoulders, and that's kept him off the golf course. But he came back with a tied 2nd in the Nordea Masters last week and lost out a couple of weeks ago and lost out in the playoff to Tongchai Zhaidi. Long off the tee, superb touch. And I think this setup will suit him perfectly. that performance in Sweden highlighted his ability to come back with having not played much golf and produce that sort of golf. I think it's testament to his ability. Runner-up at the Accenture Match Play behind Jason Day. His short game that week was incredible. If he brings that sort of short game into Pinehurst number two, I think he's got a big chance, Victor Dubuis, on a player that I really, really rate. So a couple there at 80s.
Fair too. How many is that you've had now?
I've had three now. Okay. I've had three. I've still got one to come. Steve, throw a couple more names into the mix for us.
I'll go with Webb Simpson, 45-1, I think. In fact, these last two for me are both Carolina guys. So Webb Simpson, 45-1, US Open champion in 2012. A Wake Forest product, 28 years of age, which I think he seems to be a bit more. He's more mature than that, though, in terms of the way he plays golf. But I know he's a player that a lot of guys like us keep their eye on. But he's had a lot of distractions recently. I know that he's changed his irons, he's moved house, and he's had his third child all in about 2 months. So his form over the last couple of months has been pretty disastrous, and he's slipped well outside of the Ryder Cup rankings for the Americans. But I noticed last week, all of a sudden, he came back. I think he'd had like 3 weeks off with his caddy, Paul Tesori, and all of a sudden he was hitting greens in regulation. He was putting a lot better. His short game was much more up to speed. So he was third last week at Southwind. His family have got a house on the Pinehurst estate. He grew up around this area and played the golf course a hell of a lot. And if you look at his Ross record, it's unbelievable. He was fifth in 2012 and fourth in 2013 at Eastlake. He won his first ever PGA Tour title at Sedgefield, eighth at Aronimink in 2011, 10th at Plainfield 2011. He's one of these guys, 35th in greens in regulation, but also fantastic scrambler, and he's also ninth in strokes gained putting. I don't think, you know, as ever, putting's going to be pretty key on these incredibly tricky bent grass greens. So I think Webb Simpson, 45-1, he's a real talent, and he's obviously got that US Open mentality.
He's the talking horse this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he's well fancied, Webb Simpson.
Oh yeah, he's been widely tipped up across the board. I think he's the one consensus pick. If you looked at a lot of the tipsters out there, so you'll probably find he misses the cut, but. Yeah, I can't. You just have to put him in. I have to put him in my selections this week.
You're right. He has had a child recently, and he named it after the Wyndham, which was his maiden US title. It's a good job he didn't win the Waste Management first, isn't it? Or else that would have been a little bit troublesome. I tipped him at Augusta, and he let me down. So he'll probably win this one. So yeah, but I can understand why he's the hot horse this week. He was over. Very overpriced last 10 days, so he'll go well.
They tend to like par 72s or 70s, and Simpson doesn't seem to like 72s, but put him on a 70 and he seems a lot more comfortable with that.
Just one question for you, Steve. Is he long enough? If this course plays... and it could affect Kuchar to a slight degree.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. I didn't bring it up at the time, but definitely.
If
Kuchar.
If there's a lot of rain and you need to be long, Kuchar and Simpson wouldn't like that. I'm guessing. Would you agree?
Interesting. I think both of them are sneaky long. I think both of them. When you go down into tournament depth about both of them. They can be longer than you actually think that they are. I think Kuchar can be a comfortable 295 hitter. But this shows, in a way, a lot of mental, strategic planning. On certain courses, they just don't go for it, and that brings down their actual average.
That's a very fair point, Steve. That's very true. There's some players that are... my final pick is 15th on the driving distance stats, before I say his name, but he's definitely not the 15th longest driver on tour. So he holds back and plays three woods on a lot of courses, I think. So you're right. It's just an interesting... There are some players here, though, that are 330 players equally, aren't they? They're in four. You know, they can really bomb it if they want.
Like,
so.
Three of my four picks are real long hitters. Keimer's a long hitter. Yeah. Graham Delatt's a long hitter. Victor de Buisson's a very, very long hitter. Yeah. He's incredibly long, de Buisson. So I've tended to put an emphasis on driving distance this week. Another just slight negative about Kuchar, ball flight this week. He's got one of the lowest ball flights on tour. That's not going to be ideal coming into these greens this week, which is a concern for me with Kuchar.
Yeah, potentially.
Possibly.
I'm also reading quite a lot of feedback that they think that a lot of the approach shots are going to have to land sort of 25, 30 yards before the actual greens to then feed up to the greens to keep them on there. So in a way, you know, there's two. I think the longer hitters will have an advantage potentially coming in with shorter irons. But someone like Graham McDowell, for example, that can be very creative with that links type background, can be competitive as well. So this is it. There's so many doubts about the whole setup. It's difficult to know, isn't it?
It really is. I'm confused. Even It is. It's going to be. It's definitely one to save some states back for in-play betting, isn't it? Once you get a chance to watch the first day and see really what's happening, because there is an element of guesswork at this stage for this US Open more than any I can ever remember.
That's why I've only got four picks.
I got you.
Interview yesterday that Bubba Watson had on the course, and he basically was saying that he was going with 3-iron off most of the tees. Because the ball is running, at the moment, the ball is running such a long way on the fairways, you're straight into these native areas. Now, that could change with rain, but is it going to rain? It's completely up in the air.
The weather forecast suggests so, that can all change, can't it, as we well know. Who's your third pick then, Mike?
My third pick is Gary Woodland, who is 15th on driving distance on tour, Dave. You'll like that. Top 10 for ball striking this year, 11th for total driving, 25th for greens in regulation, and in the top 60 for scrambling, only just mind you, 59th. Been in very solid form all year, lots of top 20s and a couple of top 10s, and I just think he's got the length, he's in good form. If he can keep those greens stats up there, I think at 66-1 he makes some appeal. I think this is a guy that I've thought for some time is a major winner. And I'm just hoping that he puts... His putting can be a little bit fragile.
Yeah.
But if it's a bomber's course, I wanted a bomber on my team, and he is the one I've picked.
Gary Woodland, 66-1 here with William Hill. My final pick is Billy Horschel, going half a point each way, 80-1 on Billy Horschel. Showed his quality at last year's US Open with his fourth place finish at Merion. And even though this season probably hasn't quite materialised as he probably envisaged, there have been definite signs that a top quality performance is on the horizon. Finished 15th in the Memorial, backed that up with a tied 6 at last week's FedEx St Jude. Despite his poor results for the majority of the season as well, he still ranks 5th in greens in regulation and 14th in driving accuracy. He's the one guy that's got a lack of length off the tee, Billy Horschel. He's not the longest off the tee, but he is strong with his long iron. So I'm taking a chance with the horse, Billy Horschel, in the betting at 80-1. Steve, are there any other names you want to mention here?
I'm going to close with Mike's favourite, Bill Haas.
Hey! Glad someone mentioned him.
He's got to have a mention on every podcast.
Listen to this, guys. This is Haas in major championships last few years. Yeah, Augusta, 26th, 20th, 20th. US Open, 23rd at Congressional, 19th at the Open Championship at Lytham, 12th at the PGA Championship at Atlanta Athletic, which again was about a 7,500-yard par 70. 25th at Oak Hill. He's one of these guys. He's so frustrating. He's got all the tools in his box. He has that elite player type of game, but he just hasn't so far cracked these major championships.
No.
He's top 5 in World Golf Championships, done well at Firestone, played brilliantly at Doral, but he just hasn't so far cracked the major championships. Now, this one, being a South Carolina guy, it's like a hometown event for him. And the thing I like about him, he's long. You know, he averages 290, but on certain courses, he can unleash it way out over 300 yards.
Yeah.
He's 5th in greens in regulation at over 200 yards, and he's also 10th in scrambling over 30 yards. He's one of these rarities, a great ball striker, a long hitter that's got a fantastically creative short game. I think this could really suit Bill Haas. It's just, again, very similar to Sergio. He got the mentality to mix it. He led, didn't he, at Augusta after round one and then went backwards.
Yeah.
You never know with Bill. Again, this could be a course that really suits him.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you think of Bill Haas and you look at his demeanour on the golf course and you think, mentally, he's got the perfect game, hasn't he? He seems to be always calm and serene on the golf course, but no No top 10 in a major in 18 major starts, which is, as you've just mentioned, Steve, it highlights a concern in his game.
Yeah, but, you know, 80 to 1, I just think as an each-way punt, especially six points.
Yeah, it's a good price.
I think Bill Hass is a decent shout. Ticks again. If you look at from a skill set perspective, he ticks every box.
Yeah, yeah, and I can. Sooner or later, he's got to start contending at majors, hasn't he, Bill Hass? He's good enough.
Let's just have a quick spin through some of the market leaders before we wrap up quickly. Rory McIlroy, 12 to 1, Mike.
I'd have a saver on Rory. I've got three picks, but if I was to have a fourth, I would definitely. Particularly if it's going to rain, which I think it will. He's going to be very hard to beat in this event if the course is long and wet. That suits him down to the ground. 12 to 1 is a very good price.
Yeah, I think if it rains, he's got to be on everyone's mind.
If it rains, he's on my. I'd up it from a saver. I suppose the only thing that's slightly on my mind, Dave, is that he's made, for him not to be a tip, is he's just making a few mistakes. And in a US Open, you can still rack up doubles and trebles, and you don't want to be doing that.
No.
You know, so that's. He could easily win this week.
Adam Scott, 15 to 1, Steve.
You know, we have these players that hurt us if they win. Adam would. Again, Adam's game is, you've got to say, it's pretty perfect for around here. The only potential question mark is he can three putt quite significantly. But I think Adam Scott of the market leaders for me. I think him and the relationship he's got with Tiger's ex caddy Steve Williams. I think Adam, he's probably the favourite in my mind for sure.
Adam Scott 15 to 1. His negative is his form in US Opens. It's not good. Factored into the price, obviously, but poor US Open record. He's missed 6 of 12 cuts in the US Open. Best finish came in 2012. When he was tied 15th. But on the flip side, as we've mentioned earlier on the podcast, this might not be a typical US Open. Bubba Watson is in the betting at 16 to 1. He's been overpriced in majors in the past, Mike, and it doesn't look like he is this week.
No, he isn't. He could love this course. His comments weren't especially encouraging in that press conference that Steve referred to. So 16 to 1 is about right. Great player. As you say, often underrated, but not this week.
And finally, we've got to talk about Phil Mickelson, haven't we? Six times a bridesmaid, Steve, in the betting at 20 to 1. Finished second behind Payne Stewart here back in 99 when Payne Stewart held that iconic 15-footer for par on the final green. 20 to 1 this week, Phil Mickelson. I don't think anyone would begrudge him a first US Open title.
No, absolutely not. I think he'll be everyone's sentimental pick. You can see what he's tried to do this season to his game. He's tried to become more accurate off the tee, and in certain circumstances he has. He's tried to work on his greens in regulation game, and he is far more consistent now tee to green. But as a result, it's actually that his short game that's suffered recently. His short game isn't anywhere near, you know, the usual lefty standards. Thing with Phil is, you know that he's going to love the course, but he does seem to have put a hell of a lot of pressure on himself with a lot of the comments he's made about how the course is perfect for him and obviously how he wants to do the Grand Slam. I couldn't fit him into my particular US Open squad this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if Phil does something completely left field and probably wins.
Comes in without a top 10 on the US PGA Tour this season, Mike. Again, another one that looks priced about right.
Phil Mickelson, I'd say that's about right, Dave. Yeah, he's we'd all love to see him win one. I just couldn't quite back him at 20s, although he was on the list, obviously, along with a lot of others. I thought a couple of players outsiders. In fact, Luke Donald was very near for me, by the way.
Yeah, great scrambler.
Yeah, he's a fantastic scrambler. Just if the course plays long, he may struggle. But Luke Donald really, I don't know, he's bubbling under. And I just think this could be a course that could really suit him. So he was on my mind, a bit like Keegan Bradley. At much bigger prices, Ryan Palmer, JB Holmes, and... Out of the go on.
I've just had a glance down at your sheet, and that's the name of the guy that I don't want to win this week.
Who, JB Holmes?
No, the one below it.
Nick Watney.
Yes.
Yeah, Nick Watney is about 200 to 1, isn't he? He's a crazy price.
He is 200 to 1.
He plays Donald Ross courses ever so well. He's Ryder Cup ability. He's just gone off the boil, but his stats are still in a lot of the key areas very, very good. Yeah. I'll have to have a little bit on him at that kind of price.
He would have been, if I could have five selections, I was pushing it with four, he would have been my fifth pick.
Would he really?
He really would have been. I texted someone earlier on in the week to say, have a look at Watney this week. Has good form at Aronimink, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Donald
yeah.
Ross design.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also played the host course of the Wyndham well in the past as well. So at Sedgefield, I like Nick Watney at a monster price at 200-1 this week as well. It'll be interesting.
It can happen, can't it?
But he's just been in such dreadful form that I couldn't even justify the pick at 200-1.
Yeah, Steve's gone quiet there. He's thinking we've gone mad.
I can see your logic. And you said Mike about his stats. His stats from long range are still excellent.
Yeah, they are.
Completely AWOL with the putter. Watney plays well on classical tough golf course, didn't he? I think he won at Bethpage to Barclays a few years ago, which is kind of similar. So yeah. I can see that with Watney. Two triple prices for me. I think, Jimenez at 100-1, I think there's a little bit of value in that. He's playing fantastic golf. And obviously it's Ryder Cup year, and you know what Miguel tends to do in Ryder Cup year. And Ernie Els at 120-1, seven top tens from 17 appearances, fourth at Merion, ninth at Olympic Club, and third at Pebble Beach in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
He showed something at Muirfield last time out, Muirfield Village. I think he was top 20, wasn't he? And that was his first decent performance so far in America. Do not be surprised to see Ernie just grind his way towards the top of the leaderboard this week.
No, fair call.
Who's the player you don't want to win then, Mike?
Keegan Bradley.
I'll have to go Nick Watney, even though I might have a little circle. 200-1. He was almost a pick, Nick Watney. He really was.
Yeah, you've got to back him, haven't you?
That sort of price.
Just £1,000, Dave. That's all you need to have on him.
Steve, who's the player you don't want to win?
Jason Duffner for me. I came particularly close to picking Duffner, but I just don't think he's quite got the ability around the greens. But, you know, took fourth in the last two US Opens. I just think this one's a little bit different for him. I just don't think he'll be able to scramble and putt well enough.
I think he'll be scared to put on these greens, Duffner.
That'd be my worry about him. I thought you were going to say someone else there. I thought you were going to say Jason Day when you started. Because he'd have been very close to a pick for me. But I'm just worried about that thumb injury. Somewhere like this, you've got to be absolutely everything in all your stars in the ascendancy, haven't you? And you can't have any worries. So.
Championships, especially on bent grass greens, I always look to Jason Day straight away. But he's just too lightly raced for me. And this thumb problem, I think 33, that's built into the 33-1 price. Mm.
Let's recap the picks then. Mike, three selections for you.
Yes, I'm going with a point each way on all of them. Henrik Stenson at 30s, the same price, Matt Kuchar, and 66-1, Gary Woodland.
I'll go a point each way on my four picks this week. Martin Kaymer, 40-1. Graham DeLatte, 80-1. Victor Dubuisson, 80-1. And the horse, Billy Horschel, 80-1 as well. Steve, your picks?
Point each way on Matt Kuchar, 30-1. A point each way on Sergio Garcia at 35s. We've also got a point each way at Webb Simpson at 45s. And I'm going half a point each way on Bill Haas at 80-1.
Superb. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter as well, at D Kellner, at M Grenham, and at Bamford Golf. Also, check out Steve's website as well, Golf Betting System. Well worth a look if you fancy.
I knew what Steve was going to pick. I'd already read it. I read it last night, so I knew what he was picking. I had to pretend I didn't. It was agony, that, Steve. I was acting.
You've done a great job. There's a role in Martin Scorsese film.
I was so pleased when I saw Bill Haas was on that it was going to be picked.
So predictable. But I did it for you.
Thank you, Steve. It's greatly appreciated.
Thanks, chaps. It's been superb. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it, guys.
And thanks to you for listening to the Golf Podcast as well. We'll be back for more golf action next week. This should be a cracker, folks. US Open 2014, Pinehurst number 2, one of the iconic golf courses, and it starts on Thursday. Get your bets on. Betting each way a quarter, first six here with William Hill. Should be an absolute blast. The US Open 2014. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.